a spiritual battle plan. If you want to see the model victor battle, Jesus and Luke 4 with Satan in the wilderness. At his, humanly speaking, at his weakest, after being fasting that long in the wilderness, alone, hungry, Satan's right there. And all three areas of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, there was a temptation, each one of those, directly from Satan to Jesus. And that is the model of how to handle spiritual warfare. He quickly went right to the Scriptures and answered the issues biblically. And it wasn't the end. You know, it says that Satan left him for another opportune time. So that's just the model of studying Jesus handling any kind of temptation. And I'm just encouraging towards some sort of battle plan. If there's an area of your life that you're struggling with and you're saying, no, I keep giving in, sort of that lust cycle, and you're saying, okay, I'm going to get radical here. What is your plan? A specific and concrete steps. What is your plan of dealing? Because the things will keep coming. The temptations will keep coming. What is your specific and concrete battle plan? I was in a break room, I think at the end of the lunch period, and as I was down there in this room, I'm looking around the room, and that's where they went over all of the plan for last night's game here at the school. All on the whiteboard, all these drawings, you know, on the football, who's where, the defensive, and the it's all these schematics kind of thing. And I'll put this back. There's a whole group of these things. I guess the game's over. Here is a complete battle plan on the game last night. A whole defensive game plan versus the other school that they were playing. All kinds of drawings and who does what and all the plays and how to deal with this and how to deal with that. A whole plan. And that was for a game, one game, last night. Spiritually speaking, there are a lot of Christians who don't even give the next thought towards the next tempting situation. I've completely fallen every time I'm tempted in this area. Please forgive me, Lord, and I want to repent. Thank you. So what's your plan next time? I haven't given a thought. You're going down. I think of some of the people, even from our own country, I mean, quoting Benjamin Franklin, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. I mean, it is such a... I don't know how to take someone seriously on their confession and repentance if they haven't thought through what they're going to do differently. So we always want to be prepared. Like I was not... with the next PowerPoint. Speaking of not being prepared. Okay. That's usually what we're ready for. Nice, peace, calm, rainbow, sitting on the beach in the Bahamas. But it's actually war that we're in, a spiritual battle plan. And so what I want us to think through here, and what I've done is, and you know if you've read the little booklet on Killing Sin Habits with Conquering Faith, it is by abiding, continually abiding in Christ, and using God's Word. It is in Psalm 119, it was repeatedly the psalmist, it's by your Word. I mean, your Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. How can a young man cleanse his way by keeping, you know, this Word of God? If you looked at a lamp, they're very tiny, at least historically, excavating these things, very tiny. It gives you enough light for the next step in front of you, a little light ahead of you, but that's the Word of God. But how are we prepared in a spiritual battle plan? So, it's not on the beach in Jamaica that we're living this spiritual life. It is a war. And I just broke it down and being prepared. Just used that word and use it as an acronym. And you know, you can do make your own. This is just a suggestion to help someone start getting going on this. And I review this almost on a daily basis. I mean, my copy, I write stuff on it as I go over it. Another thing comes to my mind. But are you even thinking about the day? If you have your devotions and your Bible study at night, then at night, just are you even thinking through, Lord, I want to live for you today. I know I've got the world, the flesh, and the devil to contend with, but I have your resources, I have you, and your word. And just kind of meditate on these things. So first of all, we pray. And I listed the ACTS acronym. A lot of you are used to that. It helps you pray in all the different categories. But remember, when you get into supplication, it's not just for you, but also for other people. It's the biblical word intercession. We need to intercede for others too, not just yourself. And sometimes if all you hear is, I need, when you go to the Lord, what about entering His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise? Are we going with adoration? Are we going with confession of sin? Are we going with thanksgiving and then petitions for yourself and other people? So prayer. And you say, well, how often to pray? Pray without ceasing. I think of myself, I'd like to just be a squatter at the throne of grace. You know, you ever seen the squatter camps in some of the different countries? I mean, they just show up in a field and there they are. I mean, it's a whole city. And they just took over. And that's what we ought to be at the throne of grace. We're there. We need help all the time. We need God's grace continually, and we just pray without ceasing. Secondly, rehearsing the gospel truths. So we're not just involved in doing right and putting off and putting on. It's, I want to think about Jesus. I want to think about who He is, what He has done. What are His promises? His life, His death, His resurrection. I mean, it's amazing when you think of justification. God declares me righteous because I am. But I have an alien righteousness. Nothing of my own. It's Christ's righteousness put to our account. Thank you, Lord. That is a gift. A gift of grace. What repentance and faith mean and look like in my life. I want to rehearse the fact that all of my sins have been forgiven in Christ. Colossians 2:13. All of our sins have been paid for. And God, the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in me. And according to Romans 8, verses 9 through 11, that same power that the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and me. So to say, you know, I just can't do what God wants me to do. Oh, yes, you can. And that's so helpful. We have God's power to do what God commands. And then who I am as a new man in Christ. I am in Him. Paul's favorite phrase in the New Testament, in Christ. And then how should I live now as His adopted child, out of love for Him and holiness? I'd like that to be my only motivation, love for Jesus. But it's not the only motivation mentioned in Scripture. I'd like it to be the primary one, but sometimes there's motivations of, do you know how this would affect others? Do you realize you'll reap what you sow? I mean, there's a lot of motivations in Scripture. The chief one, primary one, ought to be, we love Him because He first loved us. And another thing to rehearse is Jesus is coming back. I mean, I don't know what everyone's eschatology is in here. I don't know what you think of the millennium or the tribulation or the Christ returning. I don't know, I mean, timing and all of that and what comes first. But I think we all would be in agreement. Christ is coming back. And it can be at any time. The imminent return of Christ. And we need to keep that on our mind and not let Satan, with all of the various views we all have on different things, stop us from thinking about Christ's return. It was their hope in the New Testament. That was on their mind continually. They thought any day he could return. They were busy. They were on the rooftops waiting. They were busy, but eagerly, in 1 Thessalonians 1:9 and 10, they eagerly were awaiting the return of Christ as they were busy serving them. And I think sometimes, I know for me, I don't think about Christ coming back enough. I only think about Him coming back and when I'm going through hard times. Lord, come quickly. But it could be any time. And I liked Pastor David Haig. He has a book out on the obedience factor. He said, faith is a life-dominating conviction and practice that all God has for me through obedience to, and I put in a few things here, adapted it, to His revealed word is better by far than anything Satan, my flesh, or the world can offer me through my selfishness and sin. Again, the goodness of God in our lives. Rehearsing these factors. Letter E. Evaluate my own thoughts, my desires, what I'm wanting, and my choices. Just to evaluate them periodically. Not all the time. Periodic assessment. Am I getting sleepy spiritually? Am I not? One time when I spoke at a church, I was speaking on the world and just living in the world and how we can get spiritually sleepy. And it can get kind of dark in our life when it should be bright light in our life. I mean, we're children of light. We need to walk in the light. And what I had the tech guy do as I was speaking is it was a dimmer switch on all the lights in the auditorium. And I, over the course of about 30 minutes, I told him at every few minutes, just turn it down a notch. Just a notch. Not a lot, just a notch. And so at the end of about 30 minutes, I said, you probably in here haven't even realized that it's gotten darker in here. And they hadn't. I said, can you turn it up the way it was when you first came in? And I mean, whoa, it's like the lights came on. It can happen subtly, just day in, day out. Things that you may end up watching on TV. You go, you know, I'm laughing at sin. I'm laughing at things that aren't entertaining. They're not pursuing holiness. I'm just gradually getting dull. It's like a spiritual hypothermia. I mean, you just saw it falling asleep, and you die. Am I taking thoughts captive? I mean, philosophies, ideologies, am I taking my thoughts captive to obedience of Christ? So evaluating my thoughts, and what am I desiring, and how is that showing up? And I put a few things there that I can tend to desire. I mean, they're definitely lusts that I don't want to get into, but they're there. Comfort and ease. You know, you can work. I don't even like the phrase "work like a dog." I was going to say "work like a dog." I've never seen dogs work. That's just like a bad analogy. But you can work really hard, but then what do you do at night? What do you do on the weekend? What do you do when you're not working? You go, okay, then I just want comfort and ease. Just be careful that you want to check out at certain times. Your desire, your pursuit of comfort and ease, or fleshly pleasures and rationalizing, giving in to certain things, or escaping any kind of pressures. And you just put in your own. What are my specific areas that I know I struggle with? And have a battle plan. I want to be aware of these things. And that's a first step. And then what's my plan once this thing starts showing up? If I walk by the Spirit, I won't give in to the lust of the flesh. So I want to be aware of them and walking in obedience out of love for the Lord and His love for me. And then my choices. And my will needs to be enacted. If I say things like this, you know, I really shouldn't. It would be good if I did this. I really need to. Other people say I need to. It tends not to show up in action in my life unless I say, by God's grace, I will. Or by God's grace, I will not do that. just the enacting your will, which is part of your heart, right? Your cognition, affection, and volition. Just don't say, you know, I really should, or I need to, it'd be good if I did, when I feel like it. The psalmist, I think I put down there, Psalm 101, I did. Psalm 101. I mean, David's saying, I will wake up in the morning, I will praise the Lord, I will give thanks, I will do this, I will do that. Doesn't matter how you feel. It's, by God, Lord, help me, by your grace, I will do what's right. I will get up. And actually, I say, lay there, dwell on the gospel truths of Christ, then get up. And your day is up from there. I mean, your day is up. Anything above hell is a blessing. So just, boy, wow. Thank you, Lord. Get up. Then evaluate. No, what do I have? Rehearse, right? Evaluate, then put off, put on. This is the plan. What exactly, specifically, are you going to do or not do? As you're just evaluating your life on a daily basis, there are things I see I'm kind of getting lazy here. I don't know about you. A lot of you counsel, disciple others. A lot of times God brings people into my life to counsel or disciple because I need to hear myself go over the truths that I'm telling them. Oh, you need to really work at your marriage more. And I've been coasting a little bit myself. The Lord just wants me to get going. He'll bring people across my path where I need help. God doesn't take a break on your sanctification for an hour. The Holy Spirit doesn't say, you know what, Stuart, you're doing all right. Let me just help this guy. Help this couple. It's you help them with His Word, the Lord's Word. But He's working on me nonstop. And there's going to be a correlation there. There's going to be something I need in my own life to grow, not just helping people. So it's one sinner to another. It's one sufferer to another. So putting off and putting on, and that's more the plan. And as I mentioned earlier, that's the second sin, drinking from a cistern. That's a sort of a above-ground cistern. And making sure we're really going after the fountain of living water, of Christ. So putting off and putting on is I want to leave, you know, make no provision for the flesh, the cistern kind of thing, and I want to make sure I'm really actively, radically moving towards Christ. So what's the plan specifically? Then you move on to your action steps. What am I going to do? And do it. And that really is, Lord, I need to, the blessing comes in the doing. And it is, you want the blessing before, you want the feelings before, you want all of the great stuff before doing it. But when you are obedient and your eyes are on the Lord, it's not perfect here, but you're kind of moving in that direction, doing what God wants you to do. There is such, and you know what this is like, when you've reached out to other people, and you've cared, and you've helped, and you're serving, it's like, man, there is a byproduct, right? If I go after joy, I'll never get it. If I go after Jesus and obedient faith, a byproduct, a lot of these things become byproducts. So, action steps. And then I put reload. This is not a single-shot battle. It wasn't for Jesus. He won the first temptation, and Satan didn't. Okay, here's temptation number two. And then temptation number three. And it's right in a row. Three of them. So, reload. And that is, have the Scriptures mind readily available, at least the Word of God. You know, if you say, I can't remember all of the references. Well, Jesus didn't quote any references. He just said it's written. Now, that doesn't work on exams and tests at school with students. But you just say, it is written, and there's the Scripture, And again, the more we memorize some of these specific verses that deal with our issues, the faster we can have. I mean, you say, well, I have them on my iPhone or something. Fine. But just quick reload, get ready. And as soon as you say, oh, I can let down, reload. It says, and the devil left for another opportune time. He dogged Jesus' life and his entire earthly ministry. Next one, enlist the help of others. Enlist the help of others. And this is where accountability for both directions, accountability for pursuing Jesus and that kind of accountability for not making provision for your flesh. You want people asking you how you're growing, tell me what you're learning. Share the things where God helped you, not just your failures. And I would encourage you for mutual accountability. It's hard going to some person and report, this is how it's going in my life, and they don't say anything back to you. They say, okay, I'll pray for you. It's almost like a human priest or something. Like confession, a Catholic confession or something. No, this is mutual. This is brother with brother, sister with sister. We're both growing in our faith. We're both wanting to pursue Jesus. This is a mutual thing. If you can, maybe someone who doesn't have the same struggle as you're having. It works better if someone is doing quite well in the area that you're struggling. Otherwise, yeah, I blew it. Yeah, me too. Well, I can't get after you because then you get after me. And, you know, but to have areas that the other person is saying, no, my particular struggles are in these areas. Oh, by God's grace, that's not where I'm at. I'm dealing with these. Well, you're pretty strong. This could be really helpful. And it just keeps us both humble. We're both just brothers, or in your case, some of you, sisters, helping each other grow. Enlist the help of others. And it kind of gets something that's secret out into some light, and it will really help you to have someone else who's praying for you and encouraging you. And then lastly, dependency on the Spirit of God for help. You just cannot. I mean, the Spirit's always taking us and focusing on Christ. But just the help of the Holy Spirit, I wanted to make sure, and it is twice the Holy Spirit's mentioned in Romans 1 through 7. Two times He's mentioned, applying the work of Christ to our redemption. So the work Christ did on the cross, resurrection, the Holy Spirit takes that and applies it to our life, converts us. I'm born again by the Spirit. So two times to our salvation, it's referenced in Romans 1 through 7. And then at the end of 7, don't make this your life verse, O wretched man, who will deliver me from the, don't make that your life verse. I think that was on a plaque in my room in college. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? There's an answer. It goes into Romans 8. And Romans 8 tells us how to live the Christian life. And in light of who we are in Christ, this is how you walk with Christ. Romans chapter 8. 20 times the Holy Spirit's mentioned. 20 times in one chapter. That's rather significant. When He's mentioned only twice in regards to our redemption, applying the work of Christ to our life, when it comes, you can't live this Christian life without dependency on the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. So that dependency is just ongoing. By the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the flesh. By the Spirit, do this. By the Spirit, by the Spirit. So it's dependent work. Right? Dependent, obedient faith. As we keep our eyes on Christ. And I put that in your notes there, or the notes for my battle plan anyway, is keeping my eyes fixed on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And I listed some quotes, which are also in that book, Killing Sin Habits, just from various, mostly Puritans, and how they fought the spiritual fight, keeping their eyes on Christ, but definitely getting serious about sin in their life, and their dependency on the Spirit of God. So there's just some helpful quotes there that you can read, and some resources that are helpful in this spiritual war. So, this was a whole game plan. It is, it's not numbered, but there are at least 20 pages here. Just for a game, a football game last night. The preparing all the guys. Know yourself, know what to do, know where they're coming, how they're going to set up, whole defensive game plan. We ought at least have a battle plan for growing in faith in the Lord. And I pray that that might, if you don't have anything even written up or thought through, that this might be a real help and encouragement to you to do that. Remember, the battle's won. Right? The war's won. Christ won. But we've got constant, everyday little skirmishes until glory that we want to walk with our victor. And he's given us the resources to be more than conquerors through Christ. And may that be true.